Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, episode number 93, with your host, me, Simon Dell. Thank you very much for tuning in. If this is the first time, then welcome. If you're coming back, then thank you for returning. We have on the show today a lady based on the Gold Coast who I met through a government mentoring program, Sheni Navesaral, who has a lot of interesting background in business and marketing and skincare, and most importantly, Facebook ads. So this is what this episode is about, Facebook ads and her thoughts, tips, hints, and how to improve your Facebook advertising campaign if you want to do it yourself, or even if you have an agency or a consultant doing it for you to help them potentially improve your return on investment. Facebook is still a very, very powerful tool for advertising, especially for B2C customers, but also for B2B customers. So Sheni has some really important insights and thoughts and suggestions for how to improve your business with Facebook advertising. Before we jump into that, the usual housekeeping. If you want to come and find out about CEMOH, CEMOH.com, come and find out what we do. We deliver in-house marketing outsourced, which means that we find you staff and services that you need to grow your business. We are very much dedicated and focused on revenue growth and business growth. So come out and find what we can do for you. You can also track me down, simon@cemoh.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on, CEMOH is on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Yeah, I'm everywhere. So come and have a chat there. It's really great, to hear, that people catching up on LinkedIn and adding me on LinkedIn and, giving us their thoughts about the show. If you have a guest that you think would suit the show, if you think you would be good on the show, we'd love to hear from you. So email us, simon@cemoh.com.au. I'm going to say this now, but let's not have people who want to talk about outsourcing, remote teams, COVID, or entrepreneurial stuff, because there's plenty of other podcasts you can get that stuff. And that's not what this podcast is about. Marketing, actual marketing tactics, strategy. If you're a marketing manager, a director, a senior marketer, if you own a business and you can teach people something very specific about marketing, those are the people that we want on the show. So please contact us. Finally, thank you to Gilberto for his efforts in with the production of this show at thepodcastboss.com if you need any audio work done. And finally, go and rate and review us on iTunes. That would be awesome. This show is available on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, loads of other places. You can find us all over the place. So with that pretty much all out of the way, let's jump into the podcast and listen to what Sheni has to say. Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, Sheni Navesaral. Thank you for coming on today.
You're welcome.
You're down on the Gold Coast, aren't you?
I'm in the sunny Gold Coast where today is a little bit cloudy, but we have amazing weather.
Cool, cool, cool. Whereabouts on the Gold Coast?
I'm in Southport, which is basically 5 minutes from surfers. So I've got a beach down the end of my street, 5 minutes to surfers in the car. Nice place to be.
Lovely. Now, your company is called Spunky Monkey Media. We're going to have a quick discussion about how you came up with that name. But give us a little bit about your background, because before you did what you're going to talk about today, Facebook ads, tell us where you came from, Sheni.
Okay. I've actually been in business for 30 years. You wouldn't think so, but I've been through so many businesses. We've actually had a really large business in the natural skincare industry back in Melbourne. I came from Melbourne, and that business was turning over around $10 million a year. It was probably one of the first pioneering natural skincare brands in Australia, and it was started around 2003. So it was, you know, started really early in the piece, and it grew really quickly, and we're in around 3,000 health food shops and pharmacies. So, you know, that took a lot of time and effort on our part. We sold out and came up here, and we've had businesses, different businesses I've had from, you know, larger ones like that to medium ones to small ones. So, yeah, you know, I guess I've had a lot of background and experience in business. So it's not just Facebook advertising or marketing. It's actually, I guess it's like a holistic approach that I take to Facebook advertising, and it's actually about the business rather than just, you know, marketing or selling a product, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. We'll get to that in a second, because I've got, after what you've just said there, I've got a couple more questions for you, right? So the skin, and I'll ask you a little bit about the skincare company, just because that's what you did, which is build a business and sell it, is hopefully what a lot of people listening to this aspire to do. Mm-hmm. The question I kind of got for you on that is, when did you decide it was time to sell it? Was there a point when you suddenly went, right, well, you know, that's, you know, let's get out of this? Was there a trigger for that?
It was actually a trigger. Yeah, an unexpected trigger. A shareholder dispute in the company.
Oh, okay. Right,
so it was a forced thing, but it was probably one of the best decisions that we made, because just after that we had the 2008 stock market crash.
Right. Okay.
Right. So we actually sold on a high, which was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, so you were. I'm not going to pry. And then I'm going to pry. So were you like the minor shareholder, and they wanted to do something else, and.
A little bit like that. Yeah, we actually did start the company. It was a little bit. It was messy. It was a hard time. The lawyers got a lot of money out of it. But at the end of the day, we were paid out to what we needed. So it was all good. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're doing Facebook ads. We'll talk about it in a second. Tell me, Spunky Monkey Media. So tell me, Shani, where that name came from, or maybe I don't want to know.
No, it was actually, I was thinking of a name that needed to stop people, like what we talk about in Facebook advertising, stopping the scroll. Well, I thought, well, I have to start a business and it's going to have to stop people. So it was actually just before I started the business, and I went to Cairns with two girlfriends, and we had an amazing time there, man. We just went wild for about 3 days. But my mission on that trip was to finalize a name for my business, because I was going to come back and I was starting it. And there is nothing really. There was no Spunky Monkey there. There were no monkeys there at all. It was just something that just came out. And I tried 101 different names, and that's the one that came out.
Right. Fair enough. And why Facebook ads? What made you want to go down from skincare to whatever other businesses you're doing? What made you want to suddenly, or maybe it wasn't sudden, but what made you choose, you know, go down that Facebook ads road?
Right. Well, we actually had a skincare company as well when we've moved up here. And that's where I actually started Facebook advertising, in the skincare company.
Right. Okay.
So when I did that and I really mastered it and I concentrated on, invested a lot in it, I got 3,000 new customers in 3 months.
And okay. Nice.
Yeah. When I got that, I'm like, wow, this Facebook thing is powerful. You know, it took our business from, you know, right down to a really, really good place and a really good growth. And it was amazing, because it was almost like a numbers game. Well, it is a numbers game. So, that's when I did that. And then I really actually, enjoyed it. I've actually got an accounting degree. And let's backtrack.
Of course you have. Why not? Skincare, accounting, and Facebook ads.
You know, 30 years ago when I did my accounting degree, I came out of it after doing it. I worked in an accounting firm, and you know what? I got excited when the phone would ring. And it was like, oh, crap, this is not for me. I'm too outgoing. It was just boring sitting at a desk. And so I did 4 years and worked in as an accountant for about 3 months.
But that's like me. I did a law degree for 3 years and then never even bothered picking up another law book when I got out of university, because I spent no, didn't enjoy that.
What a waste, hey? But it wasn't a waste, absolutely not, because it's helped me all along in my business career, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure it's helped you along too.
Yeah. No. But I look back and go, do you know what? I think there could have been at least 20 different things that I should have done instead of a law degree. But let's not talk about
that. Fast forward, you were saying, why did I do Facebook advertising? Well, I guess it is really, my background is marketing. Right. And it's actually a lot of figures. And in Facebook advertising, it's not just about marketing. It's actually a lot of data interpretation as well, and actually applying that data and seeing what it actually means in a campaign. And I guess that came, you know, naturally to me because of my accounting background.
So, all right, well, let's talk about Facebook advertising because that's what we're here for. Look, there's 1,001 questions, I mean, that people have about Facebook advertising, but I guess the biggest one above and beyond anything else is why bother? What is it about Facebook advertising that you would turn around to people and say, look, you have to be doing this for your business? Yeah. And I'm going to make that a two-part question. And the second part of that question is it for every business?
Okay. All right. So firstly, I always tell people a little bit of background about Facebook advertising. And, 8 years ago, 10 years ago when Facebook started, if you had 10,000 followers in your business page and you had a product or service you wanted to promote on the weekend, you'd put a post on your business page and all of those 10,000 people would see it. And, you know, at that time, a lot of people made a lot of money very quickly and very cheaply.
Yeah.
But Facebook had a long-term plan. They were trying to get more people onto the platform to make it more popular. And then obviously they had a long-term plan to make money out of it. Because remember, it's free. It's a free platform. And all these people aren't going to put a whole lot of work and energy into it to gain nothing. So, but they were very smart, very, very smart. They had a long-term goal. So fast forward 5 years ago, if you had 10,000 followers on your business page and you had something on the weekend and you want to promote your product or service, you put it on your business page, probably only around 5,000 people would see it, okay, half of them. Fast forward 2 years ago, if you had those 10,000 followers, 2,000 people would see it. In 2020, where we are right now, if you've got 10,000 followers in your business page and you post something on your business page, only around 3.91% would see it, or 391 people will see it. Now,
which to me still seems a lot compared to what I actually think it is, or what I think most people think it is, really. I mean,
well, 400,
you know, I think
4%.
I'm sure those numbers are correct.
These are off stats, you know.
Yeah,
4% is not a lot of people. I mean, we're talking 10,000 people. If you only have, 1,000 people on your page, what's that? 4% is 40 people are seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely nothing. And I guess it comes to the point that now in 2020, we've been forced to actually advertise on Facebook because organic posts just aren't working like they used to. All right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't be doing organic on your business page, but to actually make some impact in your business, to actually get those new customers, we don't have a choice. We have to go, we have to pay money. We have to, pay for play, basically.
So the second part of that question was then, is there any particular types of businesses that Facebook is more suited to? I mean, obviously, you know, your background is skincare and accounting. They're vastly different, vastly different industries.
Yeah.
And I think most people would understand, yes, skincare, get that, but accounting, should accountants be advertising on Facebook?
Look, absolutely. I think every single business can advertise on Facebook and do well. People say to me, oh, my clients aren't on Facebook. You know what? Everyone is on Facebook or Instagram. Okay. Yeah. Nearly everyone. Okay. What is it? I don't know the stats, but there's a very, very large percentage of people. I mean, you even think about the older generation, they're on Facebook and Instagram as well. So, you know, all of our customers are on Facebook and Instagram. I think the big question is whether you can actually attract your ideal customer or get them to stop the scroll and take action on your ad, all right? And that's the big challenge that businesses have.
So, well, let's jump straight into that then. We'll talk about how you actually, the creative side of the ad and all those kind of bits a bit later on, or the actual setting up of the ad.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you, what's the way of stopping the scroll? Should we be doing, you know, is it outrageous pictures? Is it you have to use video? Is a carousel better? What's
okay?
what should these people, what should we be doing?
Okay. So what I say is basically with Facebook ads, it's 80% strategy and 20% in Ads Manager. Okay. And, you know, there's a lot of businesses that actually just go onto Facebook and Instagram. They go, oh, I need to put an ad onto my on my Facebook page because, you know, I need to get more customers. So they get in there and they just go and slapdash and they don't even know whether it's successful or not. They just put anything there. With Facebook ads, it's 80% strategy and 20% Ads Manager. And when I say strategy, there's a whole lot of things that contribute to that strategy. It's not just one thing. I mean, we're talking about the script. The script has got to be very, very succinct, okay? And there's a lot of terms of service that you need to abide by. There's marketing rules that you need to abide by. There's, you know, getting all the information that you need to get out there, et cetera. So you've got things like your script, you've got your audience, you've got to laser target your right audiences. There are so many audiences that you can create on Facebook that are awesome. They're super powerful audiences. And if you can get the right audience in front of the right audience, the more you can do that, the better that your ad is going to resonate. And then, of course, like you said before, images, videos, very, very important to whether it's actually going to stop the scroll or get your customer or your audience to keep looking at what you're actually offering. Even little things like the call to action, all right, down the bottom, your little call to action, what your heading is. Little tiny things will make your ad either successful or not successful. So when you say, oh, you should do this or that, there's a lot of things that go in combination to actually get that right.
And are you suggesting people should be creating multiple versions of single ads and seeing which work better and, you know, that kind of thing? Or is there some sort of hard and fast rules about what people should and shouldn't do on these?
Oh, absolutely. You need to test everything. You know, I say to people, if I knew exactly what to do with every client's ads that's going to make them $1 million, I wouldn't be here. You know, in marketing, just like in every other marketing, even in marketing in newspapers 5 years and 10 years ago, what we needed to do as marketers is to test. Because the fact is, you know, we don't know what our audience is going to resonate. Now, the great thing about Facebook and Instagram advertising or digital marketing advertising as a whole is that we have data that's shown to us about our ad. Now, remember, you know, 10 years ago, if you had an ad in a newspaper and you had an audience of, you know, 200,000 or 300,000, you had no idea if people were going to go in or, you know, did they come in? Did they call? Unless you actually had a coupon that they brought in, you actually didn't have any data on how successful that ad was. Sure, you could probably think, oh, yeah, our sales have increased a little bit. Yeah, people have been calling, etc. But you didn't know exactly what data. And I think that's the powerful thing that we realize about Facebook is that we know exactly how many people are clicking on a link, exactly how many people are purchasing, exactly how many people are adding to cart, or whatever it is. Facebook has that information and they can give it to us. And that's how we determine whether an ad is successful or not. So what I would recommend, and I do this with all my clients, is that we test different things. We actually test the audiences. We test different ads. We test different images. We test different scripts. We test a whole lot of things and let the data tell us what's working and what's not.
With the around the image thing, just on that, is video better than image? Are people making sure that they're spend some a little bit of money just making sure that there's a video instead of an image, or is an image is an image still going to get you the same sort of result, or does it just not matter? Does it just depend entirely on what it is that you're putting in there?
Okay, good question. And when people ask me these questions, I always say, guess what you need to do? You need to test and let the data tell you, right? Because you know what? And the algorithm changes a lot as well in Facebook. Video is very, very popular. Yes, it is. But I've personally found in my accounts, just even in the last 3 to 6 months, that images are starting to become more popular. And when I test a video and an image, the image is actually becoming more popular. But in some ad accounts, the video is more popular. So it really, really depends on your actual campaign to what's actually better. With an image, though, you know, it does need to stand out. It does need to stop the scroll. And you do need to have, I believe, have a lot of bright colors and things like that. You know, the beautiful Instagram flat lay image is lovely for your Instagram feed, but it's actually not good for a Facebook or Instagram paid post. because it blends in too much. What you need to do is you need to stand out and stop the scroll and get your, you know, audience going, oh, what's that sort of thing. And a lot of bright colors do usually do that.
I tell you one thing that we discovered doing our own Facebook ads and client ads is that, and again, it'd be interesting to hear your opinion on this, and it, you might disagree. You might just think it was just for us personally, was we actually ran a four-minute video as an advert.
Mm-hmm.
And we've traditionally done 15 seconds short grabs about us and who we are and what we do. And we ran a four-minute one, and surprisingly at first didn't get a lot of people watching it all the way through, because as you would know, you know, so other people may know out there, you can watch, you can get data on how far people have watched through the video.
Yeah.
And we found that we didn't get a massive amount of people watching it. It was basically a video of me talking.
Yeah.
maybe that was the reason. It was me doing 10 business tips.
Yeah.
And so we did that. Then I ran the same video, but I did it with the, you know, when you run the video, when you do a landscape video and you run it with the black bars at the top of the bottom. I don't know. What do you call that anything in particular?
Just borders.
Yeah. You know, when you've got the black border at the top and the black border at the bottom, and you put text over those borders so that the text remains static on the video whilst the video is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly got a much, much broader amount of people, much larger amount of people watching the video all the way to the end.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Something like that can make a huge amount of difference. And you're right, you're absolutely right. You know, it was only one little change, and to you it didn't make that much difference.
Yeah.
But it's, we don't know what our audience is going to resonate with. And you did it right, because you allowed the data to tell you, look at the difference, we made one change. And when I say to clients, when we do make changes, we try and make one thing at a time. Because then you can attribute it like you did. You go, well, the only thing that we changed was putting the borders at the top and the bottom, and that attracted the attention of the people, and you know, that's what made the difference in the data. With video, it's really, really important to put subtitles in, and I'm sure that you did do that as well, because 95% of us are watching these things on our mobile phone. And, you know, when you're watching your mobile phone in the middle of the night, you don't want to have it all going on really loud. Yeah. So subtitles are really important. Yeah.
It's funny, because then we ran another campaign last year for a client, some with subtitles, same video without subtitles as well.
Yeah.
And bizarrely, the one without the subtitles actually had a better engagement rate.
There you go.
Go figure.
That's what I say.
Let's talk about audiences. You're completely right. There's thousands of different variations of audiences there. I always think that audiences, to me, is always the crux of the success of a Facebook ad. But, you know, obviously there's a lot to do with a Facebook ad. But any kind of tips or thoughts on how to best narrow those audiences down, or how to pick the best one? And I know you're going to say test as well. So I head you off before the pass there, again, is there any that you see work really well already?
Well, what I actually say to my clients, and with anyone that I onboard as well, and anyone that I coach, is that we actually do a customer avatar before we start advertising, because the more that you know about the customer, and the more you know what they think and feel and do in their spare time, and what their passions are, what their fears are, etc., the more you can understand the your client or your customer avatar, and then the better you can laser target your audiences. Mm. So there are definitely different types of audiences. I mean, laser targeting, you know, your interests and behaviors, for example, it doesn't necessarily be, I guess if you're in skincare, say, for example, it doesn't necessarily only just have to be an audience based on skincare. If you actually know who your ideal client is, and it might be a 40-year-old female with two kids in school, who's married, who, you know, works part-time, et cetera, then, you know, you can have a look at some of the other aspirations, and one of them might be, say, you know, keeping the house nicely, you know, decorating and things like that. So some of your targeting could not only just be skincare, but it could be things like Better Homes and Gardens, or, you know, any home garden magazine or anything like that. And you think, well, what's that got to do with skincare? But it is, because me as a 40-year-old female with two kids, I am also interested in that. So Yeah, so you've got audiences like that, and obviously you would have heard of audiences like lookalike audiences. That's probably what you're going to be asking me next. Where, you know, Facebook is absolutely powerful in that, you know, Facebook as a personal user know a lot about us. They know, you know, how long we're on Facebook, what we buy, what pages that we like, what friends we like, what do our friends like, what does our partner like, what do our kids like, how old are our kids. You know, there is so much that Facebook knows about us, and it can be a little bit daunting as a personal user. But as a business, this information is powerful, something that we've never, ever, ever had in history. So basically what Facebook can do is you can create something what we call a lookalike audience, where you might have a database of some of your customers or leads or anything like that. And if you have a minimum of 100, you can actually upload those emails into Facebook and say, hey, Facebook, go and find an audience that looks like my customers. And that they are powerful audiences.
Yeah, I mean, we use the lookalike ones, you know, we use them a lot. I think they're really good. What about a B2B strategy? Because, again, for those of you who don't know and for those who do know, but you can search in audiences for things like business owner, CEO, you know, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
When I go through them, they always feel like a bit slapdash, like Facebook's put those audiences together, like, you know, as a last minute thought right at the end of the day. And they don't necessarily align with my concept of, you know, who I would be targeting. Interested to hear your sort of thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. You know, Facebook is actually very, very good with their algorithms. All right. So I always actually say your interests and behaviors audiences. Yeah, you might not be 100% spot on who you actually want to. You know, you might have, you know, digital marketer or Facebook user or Facebook business page owner or whatever. Yes, it is very generic. But I would say two things in that. Number one, Facebook's algorithm is amazing at finding the right people who will be interested in what you have to say. But number two is your script. Because you could have a huge audience and your script is actually going to filter out the right people and the wrong people. You're not really interested in the wrong people. Let them go, okay? But your script will. And I'll give you an example is that I had my ads going. I do Facebook ads webinars. And in the beginning I said business owners and one of the opening line in my script is, you know, if you're a business owner, do you need to learn Facebook advertising? And I found in my webinars that I was getting people who are startups. They hadn't even started up, but really they were basically, you know, a business that may be only a month or two old. And, yeah. You know, for my webinars and my client base, I wanted people who are a little bit more established. So what I actually did is I just changed my first line in my ad to say, you know, are you a business owner that's struggling with are you a business owner that's been in business for a while and struggling with Facebook ads? All right. So that just filtered out those people who hadn't been in business for a while because they're thinking, well, this is not for me. And straight away, I got a different type of audience to my webinars.
Right. Okay. And again, I guess test and see.
Absolutely.
What the results are out of that.
Absolutely. And you can see the difference straight away with when you're looking at the data, when the data's telling you what's happening, you can see the difference as well.
Is there anything else that, we've talked about audiences, we've talked about getting the ads right, the copyright, you know, the images right and all those kind of things. Is there anything else, any kind of little tricks that you think sort of make, you know, get better results that, you know, I've heard people in the past in previous podcasts about manipulating the budget sometimes in order to get different results from Facebook. Are those kind of things still relevant?
They change all the time. You know, we've got like horizontal scaling, vertical scaling, and it's a little bit of Facebook marketers' jargon. But these things really do change a lot. You know, even with the objectives, before, you know, a year ago, you'd use the traffic objective and it would give you amazing traffic to your website. Basically, traffic is saying, hey, Facebook, find the people who are going to go to my website. And it was probably about 12 months ago now, the traffic that was actually coming to your website was actually rubbish traffic. And so what we've actually had to do is change it around a little bit and do different objectives getting the same type of outcome that we want. So, you know, things change all the time. And I think the challenge that a lot of businesses have in Facebook advertising is that they can't keep up with all the changes because what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. So, you know, it is a little bit of a challenge. Are there any little secrets? I really go back to basics. I always say, and this is what I always come back to, it's 80% strategy, 20% ads manager, because if you spend the time on your strategy, on actually getting every single part right, and that is your audience, your script, your image, your offer. Your offer is absolutely huge, you know, and I'm not talking, it doesn't necessarily mean discount or dollar, but it has to be a bait that's going to stop people and make them want to take action. So all of these in combination are really going to create a good ad. Yeah, you could manipulate this. You could start talking about your little tricks and, you know, the tricks that go on and things like that. You know, all the different audiences that you can have a few tricks here and there about audiences. Yeah, sure. But I think if you haven't got the first part right, it doesn't matter what you do on the second part. It's not going to, you know, get the success that you need.
Couple of other final questions for you today. Landing page, how important is that?
Oh, so important. Absolutely. I always say you've got Facebook ads and you've got your landing page / website, and that's what's going to equal success. You can get as much traffic as you want to your website. You've got thousands and thousands of people to your website. But if your landing page or your website's not going to sell, you might as well just forget it. You're just wasting your money. And people are using landing pages now more than ever before rather than a website. Because the landing page, especially for a Facebook ad, is very specific. And what I always say is if you've got a pink dress that you're sewing on your Facebook page, you need to have a landing page with that pink dress. Because if you actually don't have that pink dress, if you have an orange or green dress, you're going to confuse people and they're going to, confusion leads to inaction. They'll go, oh, hang on, I was looking at that pink dress. Where is it? Where is it? And, you know, so many people, some people, you know, have their ad, then it goes to their home page. Well, if you lost, you're gone. You know, our attention span, you know, this generation is basically nil. And I always say to people, within 3 seconds of landing on your website or your landing page, people should know what you're selling, what they need to do, and what action that they need to take. And if they can't find that in 3 seconds, then they're probably lost.
Awesome. Two more questions. Audience network, worth doing? I always switch it off. You know, so just to explain to everyone, the audiences network is the Facebook network outside of Facebook. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But not including Instagram, which has its own.
Yeah,
its own.
Instagram is that. Yeah, it's sort of like they never even tell us exactly where it goes to, but it is outside of Facebook and Instagram.
Which is why I switch it off, because I've actually seen it appearing in. I think TikTok was actually running. I think TikTok was part of the Facebook audience network, and it may still be. Yeah. Part of the Facebook audience network. I know TikTok has its own ads manager, which I've been playing around with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get a feeling that it was also part of the Facebook network as well.
You get things like on Gumtree and things like that where it comes up and everything like that. That's what you call audience network. Do you know what I always say? I always test, obviously, but audience network's not very good for cold audience, but it actually has been seen to be okay in a warm audience.
Okay.
Because remember, you're retargeting them. They've already seen you before. So when they come up in Gumtree, they're going, oh, yeah, I saw them before. If they're coming up somewhere else, I've seen them before. But because it's such a small type of ad, it is a reminder. But if they've never heard of you before and they don't know what you're going on about, then they're going to take no notice. But it actually can be a good retargeting, keeping it in your retargeting campaign.
Last question then, accuracy of the data. This is one of my big bugbears about how accurate Facebook's data and reporting data actually is. What do you think? Are you giving them would you give them an A plus, get them to the top of the class, or?
Not quite an A plus, maybe a B or a C. Look, Look, it's there. It does differ. Sometimes to, you know, what you get in other areas of your data. You know, I guess, you know, obviously you've got to, number one, test it, your pixel's working and everything's all okay. Yeah. If that's the case, you know, it can be different things that it's attributed to. It could be a customer that's come straight to your website rather than going through Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So there are different attributes. But, you know, overall, we are where we are. We can't change it. So we've really got to just look at the data that we have and make decisions. Unless it's way, way, way out and there's obviously a huge, huge problem, then I would be addressing it. But obviously, if it's just like everyone else, then you just got to take it.
I would say Facebook's data is a good guide as to what has happened.
That's a nice summary.
And leave it kind of like that.
Absolutely. And it's better than no data at all. So there you go.
Well, that is absolutely, that is 100% true. Shetty, thank you very much for your time on the show today. Really appreciate your insights and thoughts. If anybody wants to get hold of you, what's the best way of tracking you down?
You can go to my website, www.spunkymonkeymedia.com.au. You can search me on LinkedIn or Facebook, or I'm everywhere.
Cool. She's everywhere. She's, look out your window now. Wherever you're listening to this, look out your window, because
you might see a spunky monkey out there.
she's like God. She's everywhere and nowhere. Thank you very much for being on the show. It's been fantastic, and I hope everybody out there has found it useful. So, enjoy your weekend.
Yes, you too. Thanks for your time.
That's pretty much it from me this week. Thank you very much for tuning in to episode number 93 of the SEMO Marketing Podcast. It has been fantastic having you here again. Hope to see you next week.